Whenever we get outside criticism, it can be a little tough to take. And then on top of that, we also have our own negative self-talk, our inner voice, our inner critic. And I'm going to tell you how both of them can help each other out. You're listening to the Bear in Mind podcast, episode 173.
A podcast that breaks it down so you can break the cycle for good. Now, your host, Tara Rama, but you can call her T.
We're at episode 173, so that means including this one, three more episodes until the library of this content on breaking the cycle is going to be paused, which I announced in episode 170. And in 175, I'm going to give you more details because that does not mean this is the end of this content. Okay, so we're talking about the outside and the inner critic. So outside criticism, feedback, and then how we talk to ourselves. And I'm going to give you two buckets of ways to look at this. What ends up happening a lot of times is our inner critic, the negative self-talk, however we talk to ourselves, however you want to label it, our inner voice, it has been so influenced by the time we're adults by outside messaging. And that outside messaging is something that we may or may not be aware of. And I think that we're aware of messaging in the media. Sometimes with body imaging, there's a lot of messages about what is beautiful that has been shown, and that has been changing to show how actually a lot of people look instead of there's one kind of standard for beauty that actually everyone's beautiful. So that kind of messaging, it's so easy to see because it's outside, it's on kind of this macro scale. And then there's this micro scale of that messaging that is actually concentrated because it comes from the people we're around, usually our family, our friends. And that messaging, we don't necessarily tie it to our inner voice, but that some of that messaging, a lot of our messaging comes from our family. If we have a tendency to say, oh, that's cultural, we've never questioned what do we mean by cultural. And there's a message in that where we kind of excuse something and say it's cultural, and we normalize something, which then maybe impacting us in a negative way through criticizing ourselves. And some of the messaging around, I know, work is you're not worth it unless you work and you work a lot. That is some of the messaging I got, not only from my family, but also my environment. And there was a period in my life where I was unemployed. And I could really feel that messaging. Like it was almost like, and literally people said, oh, you're doing nothing. And as if like, that's all I did. I did nothing because I did not have a corporate job. So looking at the way you talk to yourself and understanding that it is probably in some ways being reinforced by outside messaging, by how some of your family and friends talk to you. And not that there's anything wrong with how they talk to you, because I'm still around my family and friends and they haven't changed their messaging towards me. The things that they say, it's so subtle that what we can do is look at and even question some of those beliefs that have become the way we talk to ourselves. And we don't even notice how we're talking to ourselves sometimes because we think it's almost factual, as if something being cultural, the way you go about something, the fact that everybody's doing it, that's a really good one. Oh, everybody's doing it. Everybody's eating two cupcakes. And it's quite normal to eat a lot of food during the holidays, that because everybody's doing it, everyone in a festival, you just kind of gorge yourself with this food. And I'll tell you, that was something that is also coming from my environment. And I don't gorge myself during the holidays anymore because it's not something I need to do. It's not coming from I challenge that voice in my head that this is okay or this is acceptable and this is what you're supposed to do, what you should do. And when we notice the outside messaging, and often we notice this maybe if someone has given us feedback or made maybe an underhanded compliment, the reason why it stings so much, and it's one of the big reasons, the reason why it stings a lot is because we believe it. It's probably our own inner voice. So that is also a way to tell. When somebody does say something to me, oh, Tari, you can be so reserved. And it used to be like, well, I don't see myself as reserved. And it would sting, but that is kind of probably my own kind of negative self-talk. It's reinforcing some sort of negative self-talk that I have about myself. Now, today, because I've done a lot of work on it, is often when somebody makes a comment or gives me an opinion about myself, even if it's somewhat, maybe not totally negative, maybe reserved is not quite negative, I believe it. I do believe it in the sense that it's their opinion and they can have this opinion about me. And I don't necessarily, and I know, and the reason why I can believe it is because I know I don't have to talk to myself that way. I don't have to believe in the fact that I'm this reserved person, that it can be, maybe sometimes I am, sometimes I'm not. So I don't believe in something that somebody says anymore because I can see that when they did something, I took it as almost like it was the truth because it was my own negative self-talk. Okay, so then I'm going to go to the second bucket of how to look at it. So if you have a severe inner critic, and I have one, and I had really a severe one, and you still kind of have it, I'm more aware of it, so I have control and authority over it. When you have this negative self-talk, and it's eating at you, and you feel bad a lot of times, and the way you can really tell that you have it, if you're not really aware of how you speak to yourself, but you're listening, I want to point that out. Even if you're not even aware of your negative self-talk, it's what you're listening to. So that's probably the person you're listening to the most is that self-talk. So if you're not aware, there are ways to get aware of that. And one way you can tell if it is kind of like the way you bounce back from criticism. Does it take you 3 or 4 days or a week and or something you're ashamed of yourself for doing or saying or showing up? Does it take you a really long time to recover from it? I know that my recovery process, and I kid you not, after spending 2 weeks with my family, I would come home and it would take me about 3 months to get back into a routine wanting to go out and interact with the rest of the world. I would do the things that for survival, work and eat and sleep. And then I wasn't really wanting to engage in my life any further. So that's kind of how you can tell. And it's noticing whatever comes to your mind. It can be anything. It doesn't necessarily have to be negative, but notice how you say something. It's cultural. You might even say that out loud to somebody. Oh, that's cultural. Oh, that's normal. This is totally... And of course, there's context, but notice some of that stuff that comes up for you. And the way you can start to work on that inner critic is to make it an outside perspective. So this is where I'm flip-flopping it, is to turn it back to an outside perspective. There are two techniques. One is, and you've heard me say this, is to write out some of those thoughts that you are not maybe aware of. When they come up, jot them down every day, take a couple minutes, see what comes up for you in the morning or in the evening. And the reason why I keep bringing up this is because when it's behind your eyes, you can't really look at it. And there was this one advertisement where another person would say that person's self-talk to them. So imagine a friend sitting in a cafe, the person across you saying all the things that you say to yourself in your head. Whenever you go to the mirror, oh, I wish I had a thinner nose. I wish I had better thighs. All of that, somebody else is saying that to you. But in that advertisement, what they're trying to say is when you look at it from outside, you can almost get a handle on it. So if it's behind your head, you bring it in front of your eyes, and that's why the pen and paper works so well. The other thing to do is to, instead of saying, I am a terrible person, is to change it to, you are a terrible person. I have tried this technique and I don't find it works for me to change the I to the you, because I believed so deeply in that I'm a terrible person. It is a technique that I've read about in a book where you can then change it to you and get some handle on it. If you're not writing it down, maybe if you can, if you're really aware of it in your mind, you can try doing that. The other thing that I do is to get really precise, because what makes self-talk so strong is it is vague. I'm a terrible person. What does that mean? And get really precise. If you're going to talk to yourself that way, what does it mean to be a terrible person? Be really specific. What is the thing that you did? And it's tied into terrible is different for everybody. And moving from I'm a terrible person to something like I'm a person, which is still equally believable because you are a person, is shifting that. But also trying to understand what you mean by terrible. Get really precise about that so that when you go to say that, you can look at it and maybe slowly start to shift. Because when I say I'm a terrible person, I do try to, I work on it by switching to I'm a person. And that's kind of more what immediately I do. And then the second thing I do is I try to find an exact thing in which I am good at. So if there's all these things terrible, but what's one thing that I'm okay at? And get really precise on that. Get really precise on what it means to be a terrible person, but also really precise about what you are good at. And one of the things that I tell myself is I'm a good listener. Because when you're so vague and you keep saying, I'm horrible, I'm terrible, I'm worthless, give me a precise thing. Give me one thing. Tell me what it is that makes you worthless and look at that precise information. And it'll give you some insight into some of that messaging that I talked about at the beginning of this episode. Is it related to some sort of outside messaging? And then can you question that a little bit? Can you see that maybe if it's coming from, let's say your mother said that to you all the time, can you see that maybe that's not fact, that that's her opinion? So I'm going to recap those two buckets. One is a lot of the inner voice, the inner critic that we have has been coming from that outside messaging. Outside messaging in regards specifically to the people that are closest to us that we have never questioned. Things like it's cultural, it's normal, this is the way we do things, this is how it's supposed to be. When you find yourself saying some of those things, notice that that actual message has actually come from outside, and you get to decide if you want to take that on. And now's the opportunity to be conscious of whether or not you want to take on that belief. The second bucket of looking at your self-talk to yourself, the inner voice, is to try to now get outside perspective by writing it out and looking at it in front of your eyes, by changing that I statement to you statement, and understanding and getting really precise about that vague negative self-talk so that you can actually see that messaging and see that messaging is coming from some sort of messaging that has been given to you and reinforced. You're reinforcing it, and you can only see that when you get precise, and then you can begin to question that. That's all I have for you this week. I'll check back with you next.
Thanks for listening. Listen for a new episode next Tuesday by subscribing on your favorite podcast platform. Bye for now.